not reaching for a gun, but I'm just saying, you know, the old position where he's got the hand on the hip, you know, just in that protective stance like they're trained. You know, the standard walking up to the window kind of situation. Anyway, good stuff, guys. I enjoyed hearing some of the commentary. N2DXD.
Very good, Sean. Thank you very much. All righty. Anybody else on this topic?
82 CBB short comment.
82 CBB.
I'm not sure how pertinent this is. Somebody mentioned to me. Now I don't drive anymore because you know I don't have my eyesight. That's why Hamley's always with me. But he mentioned that it's been proven, not dead certain what that means, that ham radio operators are actually safer drivers than non-hams. So, for what it's worth, I guess if you ever do have a legal hassle, that fact could be brought up, and, you know, maybe it would assist in allowing to have it in the car. So, just thought I'd put that out there.
I've heard that before, but I'd love to be able to cite the study or studies. Do you have any rough references to what that might, those might be?
Unfortunately, yeah, I'm not doing well tonight. I'm sorry, people. Unfortunately, that's why I said it's been proven, but I don't know what that means. I cannot cite the studies either. I might try for a look-see and then hopefully have an answer for you next week. Or if anybody wants to send me an email and I find something, I'll be very happy to provide a link if I find something. Excuse me. The email is kd2cbb@yahoo.com.
Kilo Delta 2, Charlie Bravo Victor at yahoo.com. Yahoo is going to be purchased by Verizon, by the way, for those who weren't following that little news report this week. Alrighty, well, that's good to know. Thank you very much. That would be very helpful to cite. I have long maintained that the microphone in front of your mouth and the fact that your mouth is moving very similar to, you know, the action of chewing gum. They say people who chew gum or chew celery or carrot sticks while driving or anything crunchy and it requires chomp chomp. Apparently the chomp chomp action and the salivary glands kicking in keeps your mental sharpness up. I would not be surprised to find that people are in fact more alert. Also, the fact that you're holding a microphone to your mouth is a different dynamic than holding a phone to your ear. Interestingly enough, I've been known to use my phone for echolink, and I don't hold it to my ear, I hold it to my mouth, like a microphone, and that's fine. In fact, I've even been known to use a phone without a SIM, sorry, I unkeyed there, as an echolink device. So as to not be confused with a phone. And actually, once demonstrated that to a friend of mine who's a police officer, he said, you know, I pulled you over for use of a phone, I saw you using it in that manner. I saw the phone, he said, you know, when you show it to me, I wouldn't cite you for use of a phone, because it's functionally not a phone. In that regard, so it was kind of interesting. Since they said, I can see a lot of my brother officer is citing you anyway, just because it was a phone at one time, even not functioning as a phone in my use. So, it's interesting. All right, enough of that. Anybody else?
Just real quick, you also have to hold the push to talk with the microphone. That makes a difference.
You can set up, I think the EchoLink client can be tapped to transmit and tap to release, or press and hold. I know my Zello can set up, by the way. I think EchoLink is tap on, tap off, but still, it doesn't matter. Same idea.
A2EIR.
Howie.
I don't do either of those things. I don't hold the microphone, and I don't press the push-to-talk button.
I know. But you operate in a cone of silence called your automobile.
I suppose. My point really being that anyone can build that. We're ham operators.
Well, I was also going to say you walk on water. You even have the right religious heritage, but the problem is that act has been taken by somebody else. He also rises up into heaven, ascends into heaven. It is Ascension Thursday, after all.
I wouldn't want to make any comparisons that way. Although, in running for my condo board, my campaign manager said something about me being a nerd, and she was trying to make it as a compliment, and I said, but I reacted, and I said, gee, in some of my past jobs, I was regarded as a hero that could walk on water.
Yeah, I hear you. So, did you win?
Election will be Tuesday.
Okie dokie. Okie dokie. All right, very good. Well, good luck to you, Howie. All right, anybody else?
W2, PRJ.
W2, Papa Romeo Juliet. Your name and your topic, sir.
Just got done coming on this frequency there, and I heard you guys talking about having to push the PTT button in order to talk. Don't you have a box on those radios? I just hit the box and switch over here, and don't they have a box? W2PRJ.
How is the only one of us who I know runs Vox in the car? That was the environment that we were discussing, but I've actually had to push to talk on the steering wheel, my gear shifter. I've had to push on, push off, or push to hold. Push and hold, all sorts of different things. So I hear you. I tend to run too much background stuff or multiple radios for Vox in a mobile environment. But anyway, good point. W2PRG, your name again?
New to the area.
Yeah, Pete, your audio went to hell, but I still copied you. And as you unkeyed, something with your push to talk went crazy. I think that might have been your Vox tripping up, but your audio got really light during most of that transmission, but we got it. Pete, if you would like, shoot me an email at w2tangotangotango@att.com, w2tripletango@att.com if you need help with your antennas. If I can't help you, I can round up a gang of folks to help you with antennas, all right?
Yes, there's a guy named Joshua, owns a tree service in Bergenfield, next town over, and he's going to have a climber come up and stick the quad band antenna up in a tree, and I'm not going to be able to have a tower like I had at the old house, but he's also going to put up a QSO king and stretch that between two trees about 90 feet apart, so that'll be the long wire, and right now, this antenna is sticking up out of a picnic table in the backyard, and it's getting taken out of the picnic table, you know where you stick the umbrella? Well, that's where we got the antenna stuck into, and it works pretty good, but yeah, that's going up in a tree, too, so yeah, we'll be off the ground and above the house instead of right next to it there. You got Pete over here.
Roger, Pete. Very good. I remember you're moving in, but if you do need help with tuning your antennas, if people need to bring an analyzer over or something like that, I'd be happy to help. All right. Good luck to you. W2PRJ, Pete. W2TTT. All righty. Anybody else?
V2CAK.
Ari, go ahead.
All right. Last comments. If anybody's looking for that New Jersey law, I have read it. It's right in there with the cell phone law. It's pretty much the next line says, except amateur radio. I found it very interesting when I was trying to learn about New York that they mentioned that most of the things that have exonerated ham radio operators are in the case law as opposed to in the text law, so to speak, which sort of means that they can drag you to court. We're in New Jersey. Hopefully you could avoid that. With Sean's antenna farm, pardon me, I think we ought to get him a Ham Radio Saves Lives bumper stickers, what the heck. And I think that'll be it for tonight. Thank you very much. It's been enjoyable. One more thing is I'd like some information on joining the Antenna Gang there. Sounds interesting. Good group, tough group. Enjoy from KD2CAK. Back to Gordon.
Are you talking about the thing Randy was mentioning about mesh networking?
Oh, you said you had antenna people. I wanted to join the Antenna Gang.
Okay, yeah, sure. Well, if Pete contacts me, I will doubt to the usual suspects, of which you will be one.
Good, and thanks so much for your work, and I'll turn it back to the net, K2BAR, KD2CAK.
Okie dokie. Anybody else? Alrighty, well, just one other point of interest. As we were building the N3UXK, Dave Henninger came into my house on Saturday afternoon late, and we, actually about 6:30 actually, we proceeded to weld verticals to the corners of the little red wagon I got from Noel. And by the way, Noel, if you're listening, I have bought my own can of red paint because I needed much more than what you had, and also I was a little worried about where you had it. Your paint was actually frozen, so it may or may not be any good at this point. But neither here nor there. All the things I've been adding are painted in that beautiful red, Rust-Oleum Safety Red. Beautiful paint. Well based. Takes a while to dry, but that's okay. And I know I have enough to you know, after I clean everything up to repaint the frame as well as the deck and the side rails. But all the pieces I've been adding that are not going to remain galvanized or shiny aluminum are going to be are already painted red, which is pretty nifty. So I'm maintaining the red wagon motif, but and as I said, we have 440 watts of solar panels on acting as a roof. We have currently a single battery of 150 ampere hours. I'd like to see if I can find something else that's in the order of 300 to 400 ampere hours, so without being too heavy, maybe no more than 300 pounds total would be about right. And that would be very cool. Then finally, but while we were doing this, Dave decided that he was going to build himself a trailer. So he went and bought the smaller 48 by 40 inch Harbor Freight trailer, and he has put it together, and he's hoping to have the bearings packed with grease by tomorrow and tow it around soon, and then he'll put up he's going to use the green pole method as opposed to the tower method, but same basic concept for to hold mesh nodes and lights and stuff like that. It's going to be really neat. Anyway, so that's it. Any questions about that? Alrighty, just one other thing. If you're looking for extreme ideas on what we're doing, making ours look really small and feeble compared to what he did, Wayne Overbeck, N6NB, also formerly K6YNB, has built several trailers and things for portable EME operations. His girlfriend lives in a place where you're not allowed to put up a tower, but they don't say you can't park a trailer that has a tower on it. So that's what she has in her yard. And the best part was she had no access for the trailer to her backyard. So they built one of those 48 by, I don't know what they, that was a 48 by 40 trailer or something bigger. I think it might have been something slightly bigger. But they built a tower trailer, a really sturdy one, and had it, a crane come and drop it into her backyard. And that's how they bypassed their municipality's stupid rules on towers. So I thought that was very entertaining. N6NB, you can look them up. It's just N6NB and the word tower or trailer. I think you'll find some interesting ideas. But I'm hoping to bring mine down to the Furlong Club tomorrow. If I get the U-bolts all mounted up so that everything's secure, I'll take it for a test drive if it's not miserable weather or anything like that. I get the work all done before I have to go to work tomorrow. So, anybody else? Yeah, somebody keyed up. Alrighty, Randy, do we have anything else on your list?
That's the end of the list for this evening, Gordon.
Okay. Well, maybe either Dave's trailer, or which is going to be sensible, and mine, which is going to be slightly beyond insane, can, you know, foster other people's either sensible or even more insane trailers for use in portable operations field day. You know, Steve, portable day with your own towable ham shack, you know, complete with the operating desk and the roof over top of your head, and a quiet source of power, and maybe a bench for two people to sit at. You know, it sounds appealing, Steve. I'm just saying. WITW, K2BAR.
Sorry, Gordon, I missed that. I was on a landline.
So we were talking about various trailer possibilities. I was trying to bait you into building your own personal mini portable day trailer, you know, maybe like a 4 foot square or something that had an operating desk on it, a sheltered cover, you know, inboard power, you know, a room for a cooler and two chairs, so that way you'd roll up and just deploy your gear and, you know, to put your antenna support up on the trailer that would still remain hitched, or if you get dropped behind your vehicle, and you'd have your own portable day wherever you decided to park.
Well, that sounds like a neat idea, and my preferable place to park that would be on top of a pontoon boat floating out in the middle of Lake Hopatcong.
What's that country music song from, what, 2 summers ago? Pontoon? Love that song. I'm sorry?
E2CAK.
Go ahead, Ari.
Wondering if that boat would do a little better on a saltwater pond, but you know, since you brought it up, I do have a lot of questions about batteries in terms of the amount of hours that they'll practically last in radio use, or if anybody's you know, made a need-to-read chart of, you know, what types of batteries are best for how long they'll last, or to compare different types of batteries in those situations. Now, for instance, I've used a car battery, standard type, a fairly large amount of amperage on an inverter, and made it last for 3 to 4 hours during Sandy, but I don't know how long it would run a radio before it dropped between below 12 volts. And, you know, is there anybody who has computations that would make it easy to figure out, say, how many of what type of battery you'd need to run through a full field day? Over.
Depends on what you're going to try to run and the chemistry of the battery.
WITW, or anywhere an easy side-by-side comparison chart, like when you say a 100 amp hour battery versus a 300 amp hour battery, is there an easy way to say how long that would run a 100 watt radio at full power during a large duty cycle like field day?
Gotcha, Steve. Yeah, there are, and I'm going to turn it to Steve, but the one thing I will just quickly point out before we lose the thread, the one member of Barra who I know owns a pontoon boat, of all people, is Noel, N2OEL, and he has it in one of the Finger Lakes every year. He's moved it from, I think, this past summer and this coming summer, it'll be in Cuca Lake, but it has that or vice versa. I screwed up, but anyway. Steve.
Well, Ari, to answer your question, it would take a lot more information on what radios you're going to run and what duty cycle you're expecting and what the current draw is on receive and on transmit. And there are some spreadsheets out there, but I don't have them handy. I'll just give you a brief synopsis of my experience. I've used lead-acid batteries. I find that as you use them, the voltage starts to drop in a straight line, linear fashion. And when you get to about half of the rated amp-hour capacity of the battery, the voltage gets too low to be usable. So a lot of guys use an inverter to keep the voltage up, or a DC to DC converter to keep the voltage up at 13.8, which is where a lot of radios like to be happy at. I've given up on lead acid. I still have one 35 amp hour wheelchair-style battery left. That's a gel cell, and I have a couple of 70-amp-hour gel cells. But I've switched over to lithium iron phosphate chemistry, and I've purchased battery packs from a company called BioNO Power, BioENNOPOWER.com. And the lithium iron phosphate chemistry, the voltage, they're 12.8-volt batteries. In practice, the battery stays at about 13.3 volts for the majority of its life, and it has a very flat curve. Almost until the battery is exhausted, it stays above 13 volts, which is very nice for the ham radio stuff. It's a safe lithium chemistry. They're not prone to fire. You can drive nails through them, and I like that. They're very light, 60% less than lead-acid batteries, and you can draw the full amount of rated power. For example, I have a 15-amp-hour pack, and you can pull the full 15 amp-hours before it's not usable, unlike a lead-acid where you get about half the capacity out. So I really like that chemistry, and I like this particular company because the batteries come with a built-in balancing circuit to keep the cells all balanced, an inexpensive charger. You just leave the thing on for 6 or 7 hours overnight, and it charges up just fine, and it protects the batteries from overcharge and over-discharge. So that's what I'm doing with portable power these days. And so I hope that helps. WI2W.
Okay, what's the name of that company one more time?
It's BioNO Power, all one word. BioENNOPOWER.com.
BioNNO?
No, BioENNOPOWER.
Right, okay. I got it. I found it. I don't know. It's a Solutions website.
That, by the way, that 15-amp-hour pack weighs 3.5 pounds.
And how much does it cost?
Delivered, it was $175, and it's good for 2,000 charge-discharge cycles.
W2FPP. Station again, please.
W2FPP.
Good, Paul. W2APP, go ahead.
At that point, is that actually a battery or is that a cluster?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Paul. I didn't catch your last word. You asked if it was a battery or what?
Capacitor?
No, it is most definitely a battery. My knowledge of supercapacitors is pretty limited, but they don't hold a lot of energy, so they would drain rather quickly. Probably in minutes or less.
KD2 is CBV. Ego.
A small favor, that BioNNO, the battery place. I'm having a little trouble getting that. Would you mind putting it in an email for me? You know, at least just the name, and then I'll be able to check it out. I think the email's out there just in case. It's KD2CBB, that's Kilo Delta 2 Charlie Bravo Victor at yahoo.com. If you could, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you.
Sure thing. I'll do it right now.
Yeah, would you copy me on that, Steve? I mean, I have it too. I mean, I'm looking at the 12-volt battery. These are LiFO. Lithium ferrous PO, phosphate
meaning
PO. Got it.
Yeah, lithium iron phosphate. Sometimes they're just abbreviated LIFE, but technically they're LIFEPO4.
Yep, I found their products. It's here. A 3-amp is $50. 4.5 is $65. 1-amp is $80. I don't understand why there's... They've got various ones here. Yours is a 15?
Yeah, that's correct. I have a 15 amp hour pack, and it's the blue one. The black one's, I won't go there for now. I will say something else about the lithium iron phosphate chemistry. There are two popular chemistries that are available. One is lithium iron phosphate, and the other one is lithium iron nanophosphate. And those are exclusively provided by a company called A123. The difference is that the lithium iron nanophosphate batteries are capable of much higher charge and discharge currents, and they're a lot more resistant to abuse, to damage from abuse. You pay a premium for those batteries. Buddy Paul, in fact, sells some batteries based on A123 chemistry. The thing from BioNO Power is check the supplied current for the battery pack that you're looking at and compare it to what you need. In the case of the pack that I bought, it can supply 30 amps continuously, which is way more than you need for a 100-watt radio. So I'm good to go there. And I've used it quite successfully in the park with my TS-480 SAT all day long and didn't discharge half of it. They're really nice packs, and I really like the chemistry.
Okay, so Steve, let me ask you a question. Do they have separate charging terminals on these LiFePO to charge across the terminals with an appropriate charger?
It depends on the battery pack. The smaller packs usually have a separate charge and discharge plug. So I mine came with bare wires on it for the discharge port, and I put power poles on it like everything else in my ham radio life. And it has a separate lead for charging with a socket on it, and I purchased the charger with it, which was $12 or something, and that has the appropriate plug. So hope that answers your question.
I'm looking at a 12-volt pack. They're top of the line, 125 ampere hour. And it said you get to use it all. Battery plus the charger is 1,069. So basically what I'm reading here is that pretty much it's a linear equation. You know, it's a pretty reasonable stair step and fairly ultimately even slope of ampere hours versus cost. So if I dial up the 15 ampere hour pack, it's the BBC pack. It's $100. 20 amp is 193. And then the different ones, the blue pack is 193. The 200. Get the idea.
10-2 NBR.
N2NBR. November Bravo Romeo. John, good evening.
Hi, Gordon. I have here a Sears Diehard. It's the most expensive Sears Diehard you can buy. It's 1,150 cold cranky amps. I don't know what that translates to in terms of ampere hours, but it's about $300. And I've used it in electricity failures before, and I have yet to run it down.
That's great. Well, again, your mileage may vary to what your duty cycle is, all the things. That's good stuff. I'll tell you, when you're running on battery, you do think it through. But one of the things I wanted to do with the trailer was I wanted to have an abundance of power when sunshine was available. So 440 peak watts of power, is a lot of power. And what I had to do is I'm using the panels that have 60 cells. So they are a nominal 30-volt panel with a peak rating of about 42 volts coming directly off the panel. So needless to say, the power poles for that are not red and black. They are black and purple or violet. Thank you, Dr. Randy. And they go to a charge controller that I found that's $70. It's a 30 amp power charge controller. I wouldn't trust the charge controller at 30 amps, but I would certainly charge it. I mean, trust it at a nominal, let's say 15 or so amps all day at that peak voltage. So that's fine. I can certainly do that, and I wanted to make sure it didn't get overwhelmed. Bad news about the charge controller is it doesn't have any kind of communications interface. Everything has to be looked at from the front panel. But, you know, if I really get desperate, I can always stick a Mountain Radio power checks in there, apply that to a USB port, you know, read it with a Raspberry Pi or a laptop, whatever. It's all good. The other thing you could do is you could build a a current sampler and do it that way, but you know, pain in the ass. You know, you reach a point where it's gets silly. The other thing, Randy, I will bring that promised NEMA 3R box for the roof of the Fairlawn Club tomorrow with me to the club so that we have that. I forgot to bring that last Friday, so I have not forgotten. So anybody else on batteries, portable power, et cetera?
KD2CBV, comment and query.
KD2CBV, go right ahead.
First comment is a company. I do have it saved somewhere, and I can pull it up if anybody's interested. I think it's the model 1500. Basically what it is, it's kind of like a car battery setup, and it all comes on a little hand truck that you can put in the corner of the room, plug it in, charges it up, and I spoke to the company, I think, a year and a half ago, and you can actually run a refrigerator off of it for a few hours, and you can run your ham radio off of it, but it does plug into AC to charge up the battery, and it uses something like two smaller car batteries or similar to that, and they do make bigger models, but that one I think was about $500. So if you got a small area in the corner and you want something, that might be an option for you. Quick drop, and then my query. The other gentleman, I'm sorry, I'm bad with names. Most of them are doing too well tonight. Mentioned the lithium ion phosphate. Yeah. Okay. Like I said, I'm not doing too well. And it puts out 30 amps, which is fine for any 100-watt radio, or more than enough. I'm just curious, can you use something, I think it's called power pole, but it's not the, it's obviously not the connectors, that automatically switches, you hook up gel cells to it for some setup like that. What is the heat when charging the thing? Does it need an area around it? And also, how about charging those batteries off of a solar panel? How big or constant a solar array, I guess? You know, how large a solar array and how much constant power would you need? Over.
So, on my trailer, my batteries are being charged. My deep cycle battery, it's a specialized one meant for battery backups. It's 150 ampere hour and weighs 160 pounds. That battery is going to be charged by solar panels. Actually, it is being charged by a solar panel. I have a third one that's sitting in my backyard right now, so I've got the charge controller in a sealed box and the battery underneath the table outdoors, so that way should it rain, everything will be fine. But then ultimately, the charge controller and the battery ultimately move to the trailer, and we'll go from there. So yes, you certainly can do that. There's a thing called a power gate, PWR gate, I think from West Mountain Radio, which allows you to have two inputs. One would be whatever your main charging input would be, so that could be a AC power supply, it could be your car, like a switched output from your car alternator. It could be a solar panel. And the other side is for say batteries. Center is for your load. And so when you have a source of energy coming on the one side, it will not only power your devices, but it will also charge your battery. And then when your AC or your sun disappear or you turn off your car,
it will charge, it will automatically and seamlessly switch to your batteries and continue to keep you alive on your load until you exhaust the battery current. Over.
Yeah, that's correct. The power gauge. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh, that's the name. Wake up. I think I need coffee or something. Anyway. Yeah, well, I have very limited space, and I was thinking, you know, if I got some sort of battery, maybe I could stick it in an area, but I don't know how much ventilation the thing would need, if, you know, heat dissipation and those factors. And then the other thing is, if the power goes out, you know, for whatever, 3 or 4 days, nice to charge the battery. The only other option I would have would be to go to 5 watts and charge the handy batteries with a solar cell. So I was just wondering if that was an option. And if you're familiar with power gauge, now here comes another question. You go ahead and you're done for the day and you pull the plug, so you turn off the power supply. What is it, when you turn the radio off and then the power supply, you're not draining the battery with the power gauge? Because I've been looking at power gauges and thinking about that. But I really would like to have a 30-amper setup. And then again, when that battery dies, I need to charge it. It's no electric. So you can see where I'm going. So I'll leave it up to you. And much appreciated for the info.
Yeah, well, exactly. If you leave the devices powered on, it will then, when you turn off your DC supply or AC supply, whatever your should we say infrastructure source is, power, you're going to, you know, jump your battery as the source. And so yes, if you need to preserve that battery, then you need to start turning things off.
Okay, and then, I mean, I don't want to monopolize the network, but what about the batteries that you recommended? Do they require a ventilation area around them, heat dissipation, where that's like almost a non-issue, and you can put it in a tight space, and that's okay? And then how would I guess I would have to have like a manual switch if I wanted to charge it off of a solar cell. But then again, what would I need that solar cell and the accompanying circuit to produce? And I guess I could go through the power gate, and I guess I would need 12 volts from the solar cell into the power gate, and then that would charge the battery. Or, I'm just guessing, mind you, so, you know, you're listening to a dummy, so that's why I ask these questions.
Okay, well, Steve recommended a particular type of battery that I'm not so sure you can charge universally over the terminals, and you certainly can't charge it over the terminals if you also were trying to, if you're maintaining a load. At least I don't think so. Steve, you might want to address that in a moment. In general, depending on the chemistry of the battery, yeah, you A, want to leave a little room for cooling, and B, you want to leave, more importantly, especially for traditional batteries, you want to leave a little room and ventilation space for outgassing. You don't want to develop, for instance, on a standard lead-acid battery, if it should outgas and you have an accumulation of hydrogen, things could get very, very quickly. Steve, do you want to address the question of whether or not for the larger packs, not the one you have, but the larger ones where you charge across the terminals, can you leave your load on the terminal while you're also charging it? In other words, if you will obviate the need for a power gate, just come from, let's say, an alternator or a DC power supply, float the battery across the output, and then float the load across the pair? W2TGT and K2BAR. Go ahead, Steve.
A special charger for lithium chemistries. So if you were using solar cells, for example, you would need a charge controller that was capable of charging lithium iron phosphate batteries. I know one company, Genesun, makes RFI quiet chargers. They're not inexpensive, but they're dead quiet so far as RFI goes. And they make solar charge controllers for either lead acid or lithium iron phosphate. I don't know. I don't see why you couldn't leave the charger connected. It's a constant current, constant voltage charge profile. So you could probably leave the charger connected. I mean, I have done that. I left my charger connected while I was using the battery. Of course, they're on two separate plugs for myself. But some more research would be needed. That's all I got.
Okay, very good. Ezra, as I clumsily discussed with you in the park, you can't do that with what I was doing with the cells from, you know, the A123 cells. All right, very good. Any other questions for the net?
Comment, KD2CAK.
RE.
Just a couple of quick comments. There's something out there called an ISO power. If you want to use two batteries in the car, it'll charge your second battery on a trickle charge. And when you shut off the car, it will disconnect the main battery so that you can't drain it, or the car battery, if you will, so that you only run off of backup. I believe there's a second company that makes something called an EasyGate 40 that will charge a backup battery, you know, sort of while you use your rig without a problem, and handle all of that through your standard power supply just being connected to it. And during Sandy, I learned the hard way, but happily, that I could charge multiple batteries off of my car alternator, making sure that it engaged by giving it a good amount of the gas there. But I had to make sure that the battery cables were thick enough to handle that charging. Seeing a second battery across, sorry, my machine had to drop, but using the car battery, I'm sorry, throw it back to Nick. A2BR, KD2CK.
EasyGate, EASY, gate 40. I'm trying it. I can't seem to find it. What's the model again?
I believe it's the EasyGate 40. The EasyGate is the other brand other than Western Mountain that's out there. You know what? Let me see if I can find it written down somewhere.
Yeah, that would be useful because showing EasyGate, I'm getting baby gates.
Try Googling ham source as well.
There you go. That's the guy who...
Correct. So he's making a competing product there. There's a couple of them. Also, I used a, during, you know, field type operation, I have had a 2-amp trickle charger attached to a load battery while I've been operating, but I hadn't operated enough to really tell you how long or well that lasts, because I don't think I pulled the battery down in current far enough to find out whether that 13.8 from the 2-amp charger would maintain the station. Although I am curious about that. KD2CAK, back to net.
Okay, so just so you know, the charging capability is 1 amp. So if your battery, yes, you will, I mean, lose your AC supply, you'll, you know, it will in fact run off your battery, but if you're drain at a high rate, or a high rate, it can take quite some time to replenish your power. Now, power gate, depending on which one you buy, like PowerGate 40 and 80, you can actually use all things fuses to set the peak charging limit. So it's kind of a different game. They also have a thing called T-Box, which is kind of interesting. Got a 21 amp hour lithium polymer pack. I don't know if I'm assuming this is an A123 pack, based on the cost. But it's really nicely packaged, the box. What I like about it, it's a 5-pound package instead of a 15-pound package like an ATM. So that's pretty cool too. Got a little LCD display and ultra. It's a power bolt on the front. It's very nice. I mean, it's not cheap. It's like $300, but. Not bad, and it even has a banana plug output, which is kind of nice. It takes 10 hours to charge, but its cutoff voltage is reached at 12.6, it's a nominal voltage of 11.6, and may need a boost regulator. Your mileage may vary. But yeah. Alrighty. www.bara.org. You also can support the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club at alpinerepeater.com. Alpinerepeater.com. Their dues can be paid, will be filled out online and paid by PayPal. And make sure you send me a note at NATD's honest distractions between the treasurer and the scheduler of the luncheon flight opportunity. By the way, they have Communications Outfitters pack at hand, packs, backpacks at hand. They have nice little packs, by the way. I've seen them. They're pricey, but they're well worth the money. Other packs, look for PRC, gosh, now I forgot. Nice packs out there with for antennas coming to the top of the pack. Anyway, I've got one. Alrighty. I don't have anything more. And, there was one more. The luncheon for Chestnut Ridge is the 7th. So, yep, the 27th. On Howie now. Also, make sure WB2EMR, Evan, luncheon coordinator, first Sunday at the Township of Washington Community Center, Municipal Building, off of Kittle. All good. Alright, well, thanks to Chestnut Ridge Radio Company, the use of the repeater, and thank you for being a great group of questioners and interrogators tonight on a variety of subjects. It's been fun. And, by the way, one last thing. I learned how to do basic MIG welding last weekend. That was cool. Never did that before. So, anyway, Godspeed and be well. 2TTT K2BAR is off and clear, and thank you very much for a pleasant night. Retraining the repeater and all my immaturity use. And I'm going inside. I never got out of the car for this net. God bless tonight, and thank you, Randy.
Welcome. Good night, all. Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra Clear.
73W2 TTT Clear.
Shoot, it just drove on Route 80, Gordon. By the time the net was over, you would have been at my house. 73 is nice net, fellas. Thanks for keeping up the spirit of ham radio. Bye bye from Alliance, Nebraska, N2VHD out.
And I want to personally apologize for not remembering to make space for you. That's my bad. That's me, KD2CAK, signing off, wishing everybody a good night.
That's okay, man. You're always thinking of others. Very kind of you. And once again, in the spirit of amateur radio, very beautiful. Thank you for the thoughts. 73s.
Manhattan.
It's
Todd. I still heard you. It's REKD2CAK. And from having met you many times in Hanley, it's just always a pleasure to have you around. Thanks for being there. KD2CAK.
Much appreciated. I'm really not doing very well, and I'm extremely agitated. I could have used another word. Okay, I'm agitated. So thank you much for that. It does start at 21. It starts at 9 p.m. local, correct?
Believe, but I'm honestly not sure. I'd listen from 8 on, if you're listening. But I understand the frustration of you wait all week for something and the phone rings or something like that. So, hi, and enjoy. If Gordon's still on the frequency, which he is during most of the week, if you're here, I'm sure you get all the exact information. I honestly am not positive. I think it might be 8, though. I'd have to double check. I'm not going to say 9. KDTCAK.
I gotta say this. You do not understand my frustration. Only because you have no clue what's going on in general. But I will give you this, that you do understand my frustration. Like when I'm trying to maybe copy something down, like that bio-energy thing, and then I request that somebody maybe jot it down in an email for me. And I really, really do appreciate people understanding that I would not make a request like that unless it made it a heck of a lot easier. So, on that score, thank you so much. I really do appreciate very few people involved that even attempt to understand it. And so, in that regard, thanks. The other stuff that I'm going through, let me sum it up in a phrase. Is there anybody you want me to kill? That's how it feels. But no, I really do appreciate it. Thank you so much. And I guess you're running off and got things to do, so I'll make sure I give you a 146. But thanks again. KD2C.
Well, I'm not a big emailer, but I've met you a few times, and if there's anybody locally or hasn't met you and you feel you're having the communications, feel free to send them to me. As far as the other stuff goes, you are not alone. Hopefully we won't have any thing escalate to that nature, but everybody's running around under a pressure keg here, so I wish you luck in relaxing this summer, and I'm going to try to do the same. BV, KB2CBV, KD2CAK.
You know something? You sound like a real ham. I was brought up, and I've been listening to ham since 1962, hams go out of their way to help each other and to do for each other. And one of my little frustrations at the moment is hams who, when there's a misunderstanding even, go ballistic, or other hams who don't listen and create problems and things like that. And one of the things I've always maintained, I don't care if you have the most expensive setup in the world, a setup to rival the NSA, for example. If there ain't a real person on the other side of that antenna, what's the point? And that's why I appreciate real people. So thanks for that. I mean that. You know, with all my jokes and the way I talk, if I suddenly get dead serious like that, there's got to be a reason. So thank you very much.
I think basically anybody that's got a 2 in their call sign understands what you're talking about. Enjoy, KD2CAK.
I've always said the FCC knew who they were giving that call sign to. I took one look at it and I said, oh, yeah, they call. It's KD2. What? I can't even say it. It took me 2 months. Yeah, they knew it. Trust me. KD2CBV would like to thank the repeater owners for use of the equipment as well as hosting the net. It is sincerely appreciated. Kilo Delta 2, Charlie, a Bravo Victor is clear of the repeater.
Good morning, world. W2YP, New Rochelle, New York. N1LU and 1LU, W2YP, you around, Charlie?
W2YP, good morning. JD2BOR, Charlie's off today. He's off for the weekend.
Good morning, Rocky. How are you? Okay. I was unaware that I just took a shot out in the dark. I didn't hear you guys on. So I just sat here quietly. Good morning to you. How are you doing, my man?
Doing okay myself. Can't complain, but I can't stay in here this morning, too. I got two troublesome cars here I'm trying to diagnose with the scanner, but I just didn't want to leave you hanging out there. So let me say good morning. Have a good weekend. And we'll catch you down the repeater. KD2BOR.
Hey, Rock, beautiful. And hope you solve your troubles over there, your problems with the cars. And you have a good day. Today's supposed to be a very, very beautiful day. So you take care of yourself and have a good weekend, okay? And thanks for the info, too, on top of it. KD2BOR, W2YP. Bye-bye now, Rock. Take care of yourself.
All right, 73, but we'll be listening in the background. KD2, BOR.
All the best.